thank you for being here and for your prayers. I'm going to ask you if you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you find your place first in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and mark that, we'll start in Hebrews chapter 13. All right, Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. One of the questions that is most asked, especially by Christians, is how can I know the will of God? Or how can I find the will of God? How can I know God's will for my life? Or how can I find God's will for my life? In our text, the thought is written here, may the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do his will. So if you have ever asked that question, how can I know God's will for my life? You're in good company. The psalmist David said, hear my prayer, O Lord, Psalm 143. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness, answer me. Hear me speedily, O Lord. Hide not thy face from me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. David desired to know the will of God. The Christians of the early church desired to know the will of God. The Apostle Peter exhorts us in 1 Peter chapter 4 not to live for the flesh, but to live for the will of God. Paul writes in Ephesians 6 verse 6, be servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Colossians 4 verse 12, stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And of course, we know that famous verse in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, what do we mean when we say the will of God? Simply put, the will of God is God's plan or desire for your life. The will of God is God's plan or desire for my life. And let me just say this right off the top. God's will never go contrary to God's word. God's will never go in opposition to God's word. If you're jogging down the sideline or the sidewalk, well, in our case as baby boomers, you're walking down the sidewalk, and an armored vehicle drives by and the door happens to pop open because of a fault, and a bag drops out and you open that bag and there's $200,000 in there. And your mortgage payoff is $180,000 and $20,000 is for the tithe. You can't say, praise the Lord, God's will has happened in my life. Because God's will never go contrary to God's word. I truly believe that finding and knowing the will of God for your life is basic for Christianity. And every sincere child of God, in my opinion, wants to know God's will for their lives. And that's why the question is asked so often. Can I know God's will for my life? Can I know God's perfect will for my life? I think the answer, based on the authority of God's word, is absolutely. Because if God has a will for my life, then surely he wants me to know it. Now, usually the reason why people want to know God's will for their lives is because of what's going on. Should I buy that car? Should I buy that house? Which church should I go to? Should I marry that boy? Should I marry, which of my three girlfriends should I marry? You know, Chelsea didn't give me a birthday present last year, so she's off the list. But that leaves three more. Why is it that knowing God's will is so elusive for us as Christians? Well, that's what we're going to explore tonight. I think one of the reasons is because of misconceptions and misunderstandings of Scripture. Folks have the wrong expectation when they're looking for God's will. Because you see, in the Old Testament, God dealt with mankind differently. And in the Old Testament, God gave outward physical signs to direct his people. For example, the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, he led them by a pillar of cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire at night. That's easy to know God's will when God has a pillar right in front of you to say, walk in this direction or the other. Abraham's servant wanted a young lady for his son. And he said, well, when I get to the well, whichever woman offers me drink and my camels drink, that's the choice. Gideon put out a fleece. And he said, Lord, I want to know your will. So if I'm to do this, then tomorrow morning when I wake up, make the fleece dry, make the ground wet. God did that and he still wasn't satisfied. So he said, switch it. The next day he got up, he could wring out the water out of the fleece. Oftentimes in the New Testament, we find that God led the people with outward signs. Peter saw the sheep come down on the rooftop. And so he knew that God's will was for him to go to Cornelius. Ananias got confirmation that he was to go to Saul of Tarsus. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12 said, God used signs and wonders and mighty deeds in the lives of the apostle to show his will. So because of these events, many people expect God to work in the same way in the church age or the dispensation of grace in which we live. And that's not going to happen. That's not how we know God's will. Today we have the inspired, inerrant. Can I say that again? Inspired, inerrant. That means without error. Revelation of God, which is the word of God. And the Bible that you and I read came straight from the heart of God. That's where God's will is. That's the source of knowing God's will. And so God's will for each of us must be found within the pages of God's word. So what I would suggest tonight, because I don't have the time, is that maybe you just take a piece of paper and a pen and write down some of these verses that I'll give you. And then you can go on and look at them in more detail, because I'm not going to have the time to really expound on each one. How do we know God's will for our lives? The first step in knowing God's will, and the first part of God's will, is to be saved. That's the first. You cannot know God's will if you don't know his son, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if God is not willing that any should perish, his will is that we be saved. His will is that we know his son as our Lord and Savior. And the only way we can know his son is by faith. Not by good works. Not by going to church. Not by giving money. Not by prayer. But coming to a place in our lives where we know for a fact that we're sinners. And that the wages of sin is death. And the only person that can save our souls is the person of Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and then rose again. Do we want to know God's will for our lives? Then we must be saved. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved. So that's God's will, that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. That is what starts us on the path of life and godliness and peace. That is what gives our life purpose. We live in a world of confusion, and if we don't know Jesus Christ, we don't really have purpose. What is God's will for your life? That you be saved. And then number two, God's will for our lives is that we be spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly means cautiously. It's like a cat on a wall with broken bottles. I don't know if they have that in America, but that's how we can't afford to have all those fancy wires. So we break up the bottles, put them in the cement, and you have the broken bottles sitting up. Then you'll have a cat trying to walk on top of that wall. That's circumspectly. Because every time he places his foot down, he doesn't want his foot to be stuck. Tempted to use a word we use in Jamaica, but I don't think that would be a pleasant word, right? Right, we don't want to use that word. So he doesn't want his foot to be stuck. So he places each foot circumspectly, cautiously. And the Bible says we ought to walk that way. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Redeeming means to make full use of the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. And then he tells us what the will of God is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. That's the will of God. It's as plain as the nose on my face. That's the will of God. Now, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? He equates it to being drunk with alcohol. Now, how many of us have ever been drunk? No, we don't want to answer that. But we are under the control of the alcohol. Amen? And that alcohol makes us bold, or it makes us stagger, or whatever it wants to do, that's what we do because we're under its control. And it's the same thing with the Spirit of God. But we don't drink in the Spirit of God. We open our hearts by faith and daily say, Lord, I yield myself to you today. And we do that every day, especially in the morning, if that's how your day begins. Be ye filled with the Spirit of God. And I believe that to be filled with the Spirit of God simply means to be controlled by the Spirit of God when we yield ourselves. This is God's will for our lives. Verse 17, understanding what the will of God is. So we must be saved, we must be spirit-filled. And let me just stop here and say something real quick. Don't get angry with me. There is a lot of confusion about being spirit-filled today. God is not the author of confusion. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. The blessed Holy Spirit's purpose is not to endue us with emotion. He controls us. His desire is to exalt the Lord Jesus. His desire is not to exalt a person or us individually, but to exalt the Lord Jesus. He convicts us of sin and opens our eyes to what true righteousness is. And the Spirit of God makes us deeply aware of our accountability to God. So that's part of being Spirit-filled. So we must be saved, we must be Spirit-filled. And then number four, this is where we're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We must be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we give you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So the will of God for our lives is that we be sanctified. And the word sanctified means to be set apart for God's use. for God's glory, that you be sanctified. Now, he helps us to understand how we can be sanctified or set apart for God. Listen to what he says. You should abstain from fornication, that everyone know how to possess his vessel in sanctification, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. So if we're going to be sanctified or set apart, which is the will of God, these sins that have been identified ought not to be a part of our lives. The first one he says is here is abstain from fornication. And the word fornication really in the original is porneia. So it's talking about pornography. It's talking about impurity. All sexual impurity comes under the heading of fornication. If that is a part of our lives, it is impossible to know the will of God, because our minds are going to be contaminated and not controlled by the Spirit of God. You see, the Word of God is so practical that we can actually read it and go step by step in its instructions to follow what God's will is, or to know what God's will is. We cannot know God's will if porneia is a part of our lives. Then he says in verse 4, we should know how to possess our vessels. That's another part of the will of God. And the word vessel here has to do with our bodies. Possess your body. In other words, make sure that your body honors God. And the word possess is self-control. Self-control. So many people live today as slaves to their own bodies. Whatever the body says, that's what we do. The body says, I desire that, or I desire to do that, or I want that. And we're a slave to our bodies and we just capitulate. Our heart will cry out, you know that's wrong. You know that's displeasing to God. You know that's what he doesn't want you to do. But our bodies are in control. So Paul says, if we're going to know the will of God, then his will for us revealed in plain sight is that we must possess our bodies or live under our self-control. Paul said this, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He even uses the word buffet. It's not buffet, but buffet. I beat my body into subjection. And the reason I do that is lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. And that's one of my greatest fears. After I preach to others, because I did not exercise self-control and keep my body under subjection, I fall into sin and I'm disqualified. But I want to know God's will, and so do you. Then he says, abstain from fornication, exercise self-control. Then he uses a term in verse 5. Do not live in the lust of concupiscence. Do not live in the lust of concupiscence. You notice the area that he's focusing on, you know, it's the lust of the flesh. And we believe that the lust of the flesh really pinpoints itself on young people. I have news for you. You visit some of these rest homes and you'll find out that nothing goes on. Up until they're old, this problem still exists because it's happening up here. Do not live in the lust of evil concupiscence. And the word concupiscence actually means constant sexual desire. Matter of fact, when I looked it up, it literally means do not live for the glands or the hormones. And I said, you know something, I'm not even going to touch that. That's way beyond my pay grade. So Lord, Holy Spirit, speak to all hearts that are present, including mine. But there are some people who just live like that. Sometimes we have to go to classes on the job, and we have to sit and watch interviews of people who are in prison for perversion. And they will tell you, keep me locked up, because if I get out of prison, I'm going to do it again. That's living in evil concupiscence. But it is possible in the flesh, if we don't keep under our bodies, that we can be guilty of the same thing. And it is impossible to know God's will if that is not under control. So God's will for us, as revealed in the Word of God, is that we be saved, we be Spirit-filled, we be sanctified, and then number four is to be submissive. And that's found in 1 Peter 2, verse 13. And every passage I give you will have in there the will of God. So 1 Peter 2, verse 13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto the governor as unto them that are sent by him, that's God, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now this passage is telling us that we ought to be good citizens. We ought to submit to the laws of society unless they differ from the Word of God. We ought to be submissive. We ought to be good citizens. Because people on the outside are always evaluating us once we give our testimony that we are a child of God. So I ask myself the question, am I a good employee? Do you pay your taxes? Do you despise police officers? I just thought I'd throw that in there. Yeah. Do we exhibit the spirit of good citizenship? Because if we do, then we have submitted to the laws of society and the will of God. And then number five, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and this is a tough one. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We ought to say thanks in everything, and that's not easy. Amen? Do we have a genuine attitude of gratitude during every event in our lives? Are we thankful during difficulties? Are we thankful during disappointments? Are we thankful when plans are deviated? Because God says His will is that we give thanks in everything. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. So that is essential for our growth. It is giving thanks even through the difficult times. So we must be saved. That's the will of God. We must be Spirit-filled. That's the will of God. We must be sanctified because that's the will of God. We must be submissive because that's the will of God. And we must be, what's the last one? Say thanks. That was the S. Got to keep it alliterated. Amen, brother Malcolm. Saying thanks. So those are the S's. S. That's how we know the will of God. So now I know what you're thinking. Hugh, you're giving me a 6 for a 9. You know, you tell me that you told me that you're going to tell us how to know the will of God for our lives. But that's for everybody. What about my life? What about the car? What about the guy? What about the girl? What about the job? What about the house? That's what I want to hear because that's what I've struggled with. And that's why I've asked the question so many times. How can I know God's will for my life? Well, the first thing that we have to do is do God's will as He reveals it to us. Then we move to the next step. So can you imagine somebody who says, well, I want to know the will of God, and they've never trusted Christ? Impossible. Somebody who says, I want to know the will of God, but they don't pay their taxes. Can't know the will of God because we're not being submitted. Then you have that whole issue with the flesh. The pornea part cannot know the will of God because how can God tell us what His will is specifically for us when we're not doing what He reveals to us in general. So hear me carefully. If you live in obedience to what God reveals to you in His precious word, if you live in obedience to each point that we have covered tonight, identified in God's word tonight, then your will line up with God's will. Hear me? If we are obedient to what God reveals to us, then our will line up with God's will. God's want to will be the same as our want to. Psalm 37 verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. And we have looked at that so many times as being, he'll give me what I want or what I desire. But I want you to look at it a little different tonight. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will place in your heart the desires that he wants you to have. Because when we're living in obedience to what God reveals to us, our thinking is going to be lined up with God's thinking. So we're not going to have the desires that are outside of his will. And to me, that is exciting. But people don't like that, and people will be disappointed with that. Because naturally, as human beings, we want to be able to get up every morning and go into the bathroom and turn on the light, and written on the mirror will be, hey, this is your will. This is my will for you. Ain't going to happen like that. You know why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Him that cometh unto God must come unto him by faith. With faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. So how can we know God's will for our life specifically? We obey what God reveals to us, and then he places in our heart his desire. And I tell you this, you talk to men and women of God who have walked with him for years, and they will acknowledge that's the way it's done. And it's a wonderful life. It's an exciting life. Because we have to learn to wait upon the Lord and be of good courage. In Solomon's young days, he walked in harmony and obedience to God, and he lived a life of obedience to the revelation of God's word. And one day God came to him when his daddy died and he was on the throne, and God gave him a blank check. God said, Solomon, whatever you ask for, I'll give it to you. But because of his obedience to God's revealed word, his desire was God's desire. And we know the story. He asked for wisdom and understanding so that he could rule God's people. And the Bible says God was pleased with his request. Isn't that wonderful? Because God's want to was Solomon's want to. And as I stand before you tonight, that's my desire. That's my desire. I just want to do God's will. I remember the passage over in Genesis. It's always a favorite of mine. You know, it's the servant who was sent out by Isaac to find a wife for his son. Remember? And when he found Rebekah, he wrote his testimony, and I, being in the way, the Lord led me. And it reminds me of a car. If we sit behind the wheel of a car and that car is not moving, that steering wheel is pretty hard to move. But you start that engine and get that car moving, you can steer the car with your pinky. That's what God wants for our lives, to be moving according to his revealed will so he can guide and direct us into our perfect will. This perfect will for us. But it requires faith. Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But if we live according to the obedience of God's word, whatever happens tomorrow, praise the Lord. Do you sing that song? Praise the Lord anyway. How does that song go again? I forget. It will come back. Hey, don't laugh. But you're laughing with me, not at me. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And this is why he wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. I believe with all my heart that if we walk in accordance to God's revealed will, he will place the right desires in our heart. He will lead us in the right direction. He will shut the wrong doors and open the right doors. He will ensure that our lives bring honor and glory to him. And that's the whole purpose of mankind and the whole purpose of life. And that's why it is wonderful. Our text said, Hebrews 13, 20 through 21, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." I remember the song. "I want to do thy will, O Lord. I want to do thy will, O Lord. Take me, break me, mold me and make me. I want to do thy will, O Lord." He makes it simple enough that we can understand it. It's up to us to accept it and then obey it. Amen? Let's bow our heads together. You know, the Lord laid this message on my heart for my own good. And I said, man, I hope I get an opportunity one day to share this. Because it was a great help to me. Because I was one of those people who always asked, how can I know God's will for my life? And so if you're here tonight and you say, you know, Hugh, I have struggled with that. And right now there are some issues that I'm dealing with. And I really want to know God's will. Help me to grasp this and then put it to the test. Would you pray for me? Would you be willing to lift your hand so I'll know to pray for you? God bless you. Many, many hands. Yes. You might be here tonight and you say, I haven't even gotten off of first base because I've never really trusted Christ as my Savior. But pray for me. Pray for me that I will come to know him in a personal way before it's too late. Would you slip your hand up? Let me just pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Our Father, tonight we thank you for God's word. So simple, so poignant. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would go back over these verses that reveal your will in general. And then trust you to put your desire in our heart so that our desire will line up with your desire. Wonderful life when we live like that, because you ask us to walk by faith and not by sight. And so we just commit this to you and to those who raise their hands tonight. Lord, I don't even know their names because I didn't look. But you know, you see our hearts. And so I pray that you'll have your perfect will in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you get your hymn books, let's sing one verse of 657, verse number 3. Verse number 3. Let's stand as we sing 657, verse number 3.
Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in thee.